Hey guys, how are you? Are you happy? Are you healthy? I sincerely hope you are. No, this is not a Queen deep dive. It should be, because I'm ready to do the next dive, actually. I've finished my research and sat with it long enough, longer than I needed to, actually. And I should do it. I should dive right in, you know? But today, I want to talk about something different. First of all, do I sound different to you? Yeah, I noticed too. There's a reason for that. I'm going to talk all about it. And it's actually the same reason I started to reflect earlier today about a particular moment that happened to me. It was actually a series of moments that happened over the course of some months, years back. And I've talked about it before, but I don't know if I've talked about it at such length. And because there is positivity to take from it, I want to touch this topic again. So let's do it. Let's do it. As Freddie Mercury so often said at Queen concerts. Yeah. Next episode will be a deep dive, I promise, because it's good to go. And perhaps I can even start prepping the next one. So I'm not talking Queen. I'm not talking music today, although I will mention music, of course. What am I talking about? Well, okay, why do I sound like this? I am taking prednisone again. If you've followed my episodes, if you've followed my series a little bit, and you've listened to episodes besides Queen or music, then you know. I have an autoimmune disease, and I don't talk about it. I go through spurts. I don't talk about it a lot, especially if I'm in remission and I'm doing really well. I'm kind of this walking contradiction because I don't like to talk about it a lot. I like to keep it close to the chest. I don't even mention it a lot to people I know, save those really close to me. It's not something I'm often vocal about. But when I'm not doing well, I suddenly get this urge to be an advocate and educate people and reach out to people who are going through something similar or need some reassurance. I do routinely comment on there's actually an ulcerative colitis sub on Reddit. And I'm on it a lot because often, especially younger patients who have just been diagnosed, I'm talking kids and people who are perhaps going into college and their whole life is ahead of them. And suddenly they're diagnosed with this thing that there's no cure for, and they're lost and they're terrified and they don't know what that means. So I try really hard to give them some guidance, and obviously I'm not a doctor, so I'm careful to say that. But when it comes to emotional support, that's always essential. And for some reason, guys, I think this froze. My notes for this are not loading. So we're going to try again. I'll just keep this real here and hopefully this will open. So yes, today I'm going to be talking about my current medical state. There we go. It's up now. And mostly I want to talk about the joy that's everywhere. Yes, there is joy everywhere in everything if you look for it. And I think a lot of the time we are quite blind to it. But we go through moments, we go through things in life that suddenly make it crystal clear to us. And sometimes this is not because of our own doing. In fact, I would venture to say it's usually because it's not our own doing. The joy that is everywhere, finding the purpose and the joy within, through pain, through challenges. Right now, yes, I'm taking prednisone, which I'm not going to say too much about it. It's a steroid. It's a very common go-to anti-inflammatory steroid. And it does its job, but at a cost. So The reason I sound weird is because it literally does something to my voice box. And it happens to my husband too. I've noticed that when he's taken prednisone in the past. It happens very quickly. It takes all of a few hours after starting the prednisone for this to happen. If you're on the prednisone at a high enough dose, long enough, you get to enjoy other side effects as well. And some of the other kind of minor ones, but they're still a nuisance, are fatigue, which I'm also experiencing right now, insomnia, and night sweats. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, but it does the job. I've been experiencing some symptoms the last month. So here I am on the prednisone to hopefully knock down the issues I'm having to get me back to remission, to get me back to square one. I'll spare you the story about my ongoing saga with medicinal changes to manage my UC, because I've been on so many medications now, I couldn't tell you. And I'm dreading having to potentially change again, but I'm hoping that this little flare is due to just something random. So that's all I'll say about that. But in starting the prednisone again, which I literally started today, I'm doing a 2-week taper. Of course, that makes me, I go through so many emotions every time I have to do this. And it's been about a year since I've been on prednisone. I had a really good stretch. So this is a real letdown. And it's the same feeling every time. I feel defeated. I get sad. I get scared, because what is this going to mean long term? And then I just think to myself, okay, whatever, I'm just going to keep doing my thing. I've been very lucky that I've been healthy enough to not experience a disruption in my daily life. I've just been dealing with it. So, you know, I'm dizzy and I'm kind of out of sorts and foggy brained, but I will keep running and I will keep doing music and working and all that jazz. But it got me thinking about what happened to me years ago. Okay, I was diagnosed in 2013, but that was not the life-changing, oh my gosh, eye-opening moment that changed me. I've talked about that quote from Confucius, and the quote is, "We all have two lives, and the second begins when we realize we only have one." And I first heard that brilliant quote from Tom Hiddleston at a Comic-Con ages ago. And it struck me, and it's really stuck with me. And I think everybody has a moment like that in their life. And it usually comes when you don't expect it. And mine came in 2015 when I fell down with the worst flare. It's still the worst flare I've ever been through. I was not yet on biologics or immunomodulators, meaning I was just on what they call maintenance meds, which treat inflammation, but not what causes it, okay? So I wasn't at that point where I'd got so bad, my disease got so severe that I needed more. I needed something more powerful until 2015. We were actually on a road trip when it happened, when it started, and it was fairly gradual, and then it just hit me like a truck. And a lot of things happened all at once. I couldn't work. I was still going into the office at the time, and I had to stop. I got so sick that I wasn't even up, you know, usually if I had like a cold or a flu and I had to take a day off or two of work, I was always upset and mad about that. But in this case, I literally had no energy except to just go day to day and try to get from day to day. I should have gone to the hospital, in all honesty. I was surviving at home with water Gatorade. I was doing everything to stay hydrated. And It was so bad that my husband took a week off work, and he was scared. He didn't tell me at the time because I was just getting through it. But later he said, yeah, I didn't know what was going to happen to you. I was scared. I was terrified. So it was a hard time, and I went through it to get across that line. And I didn't realize it at the time, but that was my life-changing aha moment. Because here's what happened. This is what I want to focus on today at length. And I think there's one or two other people I'm going to tell you about as I tell you the eye-opening sort of lifting of the veil thing that happened. I was driving back to work after I'd been out for a little while, and I was still nowhere near 100%. I was maybe 30 or 40% better. But if you've been through something really rough like that, like I've been through, then you know that any better is worlds better. So I'm thinking, here it's Monday. I feel great. I'm going to get up. I'm going to put myself together and I'm going to go to work. And my whole intention was, I am going to work and I'm back. You know, I'm back at it. Well, of course, my body had other plans because I wasn't ready yet for full on life. But I was ambitious and I wanted to do it. So I get up and I put myself together and I'm in the car and it's Monday. Okay, Mondays, we hate Mondays, but I'm in the car and it's Monday and I'm driving and I'm tired, but I've got A Sky Full of Stars by Coldplay playing and I'm driving down the highway and it hit me. I was so happy. I was euphoric. I was crying. I was so happy. I was just like, I'm in my car. I got up today on time. I took a shower. I put myself together. I'm still not fully back, but I was just so happy. The mundaneness was the best thing that had happened to me in weeks at that point. And everything, I'm not even kidding when I tell you that everything was brighter and everything was more intense in the absolute best way. I loved going into the office and I really for the first time in my entire life, not that I didn't appreciate people before, but just the sheer presence of another human being, because I'd been at home. I'd only been with, you know, either my husband or other doctors, nurses, that sort of thing. I hadn't really been around anybody. And suddenly I was feeling a little better and I was seeing people again. And I was so appreciative of that. Just the value of the people was a priceless thing to me. And I suddenly realized it was easier to look people in the eye and it was easier for me to speak my mind and everything felt easier. I was telling myself, why were you so stressed about this before? It made no sense to me. Everything felt so easy. Even the previously stressful things of life at my job, at work, they were so easy because I'd been through this thing that had tried me. I mean, I went through hell and I would never use that term lightly. This was a very difficult thing to deal with. And I didn't even go through the worst of what some other people go through. And that's why I want to talk about those stories too. But I think what struck me even more than just being around these people was their concern. Because before this happened, I didn't tell anybody about what was going on with me. You know, as you do, you kind of keep it to yourself. When it happened and I was out of work for so long, everybody wanted to know what was going on, naturally. The cat was out of the bag. I couldn't lie. And, you know, I suppose I could have not said anything. But once I told, you know, my boss and one of my really close buddies at work, everything kind of came out. And so when I got back, the amount of people that stopped to see me in my office and asked how I was doing and wanted to know more really amazed me. Because these were people that, some of them, I didn't know them all that well. You know, they were colleagues and I would talk to them. But you know how at work, with a lot of people, there's this line. It's like, you don't know them very well. And suddenly these people were asking me questions that were very, you know, personal. But they genuinely wanted to know. If you can't go through something like this yourself, it's impossible to explain it. But they desperately wanted to know how I was feeling and what was happening with me. Or they had, you know, they had people in their family. They had friends they knew. There were other people who were going through this same thing or a very similar thing. And suddenly there was this connection and this bond. And that's what really, really got to me was these people that, you know, again, some of them, I didn't know them very well. They were there. Suddenly they were there and they were caring and they kept an eye on me. And everybody was telling me, Charlie, slow down. So when I hit my half day point that first day, I actually had to go home because I just was so exhausted. I was so exhausted. And I kept that routine for a little while. I was in the office for half day or so, and then I'd come home. I was doing the best that I could, but it was so good to just be back in any capacity and have my life back, you know, start running again. And I had no muscle mass. It was like running on spindles for a while, but it was the best thing ever, which is why I talk about running being freedom, because I've been in that place where I could not do it and it was agony. And I just want to have this, you know, I just want to have this one thing and I couldn't do it. So anytime I can, it's just the best, most brilliant, most fantastic release I can get. And I'm so appreciative of that. I think that's why I love it so much. And I know some people just cannot stand any kind of exercise or anything, especially running. They say, I don't know how you do this, because I know what it's like to not be able to do it. So when I can put my arms out, and I'm sure I look like a dork, put my arms out with when the best song is in my ears and I can just run and sprint, which is harder to do these days, but if I go downhill, it's easier. If I get that moment where that runner's high hits me and it's effortless, there's nothing quite like that. There are other things that you can get a high from. You know, music's one of those things too, but it's just this incredible thing. So to have these realizations coming back, healing after the storm, was the moment where I realized this is my life and this is what I've been missing. And it does go away. I suppose in a way it's similar to near-death experiences, which I've never had. But, you know, you see people, you hear people talk about that, how they thought they were going to die, or they feel they did, you know, maybe they did die and they had this experience, and you come back from that and everything feels so easy, and suddenly you're fearless. Suddenly you just want to do everything, and you want to see everyone, and you want to talk to everyone, and you want to do this. That does go away. You know, it doesn't last. And there's a period where it lasts and it kind of tapers off. So I wish I could tell you I retained the same courage I had at first, but it inevitably, what can I say? I became more myself again, which is a little more timid and apprehensive about certain situations and things. And I'm still kind of socially awkward. And some of me is just ingrained into my very, you know, who I am. But going through that was such a big thing that I saw the joy in people and in life and everything. There was so much clarity having gone through that. And in thinking about that, I started thinking about people that I've read about or followed on social media that I know have had it far worse. And one of those people that I haven't looked at her accounts in a little while, but her name is Emma Carey. Emma Carey is referred to as the girl who fell from the sky. You can look her up online and you'll find a million articles about her. I don't want to go into too much detail about it because some of it can be quite intense, but she, at 20 years old, went with a best friend to go skydiving. And long story short, she jumped out with her instructor in tandem. Is that what they call it? I've never done it, so I don't know. And the chute didn't open correctly. They think the chute got tied up with the backup chute, and it actually got tangled in a way. And the instructor passed out because the chute strings somehow tangled around his neck, and he passed out. But she was awake the whole way down. And this is from 15,000 feet. She is certain she's going to die at that point. I mean, you can read her account. It's very intense. She's certain she's going to die. How could you not be certain you're going to die? And all you can think about is she's talked about how she thought about some of the weirdest things, like the laundry in the wash that wasn't going to get dry. And at the same time, she'd think about like her parents. You know, it was this montage of moments in her life flashing before her eyes because the ground's getting closer. And when you fall from that height, you know, it takes a while to get down, but it's getting closer and closer. And she thinks, okay, this is it. This is just it. This is how it happens. Well, she lived and she hit the ground. The instructor was actually on top of her. And somehow she's pinned between the instructor and the ground. She lived and her back broke and her pelvis and so many things happened to her physically at that moment, but she lived. And when you read about her account of going through that and the various phases of grief that you face when you've lost parts of your physicality that will never be the same. She had to wake up to the possibility that she might be paralyzed from the waist down forever. She actually learned how to walk. She walks. She's got her challenges. Yeah. They're forever and always. She has a catheter. She has to be very careful whenever she gets sick. But she's still alive. And she talks about what she found going through it, all that pain and that suffering and the back and forth of, you know, the tears and the pain and the crying and the joy and the goodness and all of it wrapped up in this thing. And that is, you know, next to my story, that is just this absolutely amazing thing. I don't even have a story next to that story. And I'm not in any way comparing my story to hers, except the fact that anybody who goes through something challenging like that, that challenges you physically, that you don't have any control over, whether it's a medical condition or an accident like that, and you have to get through it, it can be just as trying emotionally and mentally as the next person, because you're going through the same. My thing lasted for months coming out of that flare. I had a lot of fallout from the prednisone I was on. It was a very high dose. And I had to deal with that. There's another woman I follow on social media who also has ulcerative colitis. She's younger than I am. And bless her heart, when she was diagnosed, I think within 6 months, she had to have surgery. It was that severe. Nothing could help her. She had to have surgery, which means your entire intestine is removed. She has a bag for the rest of her life. And she somehow has become this inspiration to people in that community because she has a can-do attitude and an I'm not going to stop attitude and a look how far I've come attitude. She is also worse off than I am. Everybody's journey is different, and it takes you through this back and forth and these up and downs. And somewhere in there, that's the thing I've seen with all of these, and these are just two people who've gone through something that's tried them and pushed them to the brink in different ways. They've both spoken out about the purpose they found in the pain. And I guarantee you that most anybody who's gone through something like that, there's something inside of you that once you realize what you have here, once you realize how fleeting and precious everything is and everyone is, and how joy just flits in between things every day. It's like this invisible thing that you don't notice or feel until suddenly you do. And then it floods you. And even as you're going through the motions of getting better and healing, and that includes not just the physical part, but the emotional aspect of it, you suddenly have this empowering drive to tell people and comfort people and help them understand that you get it. And they will be okay because there are things out there just waiting for you to see them. I don't know how to explain that, but it does happen. What is your thing? Have you been through a traumatic thing like that? An accident, a physical pain, a challenge, a loss? You lost somebody. It changed you. At the core, you are a different person. And maybe it's worse in some ways because you're this different person. Have you noticed anything else different around you, around the people? Do they care more? Is anyone reaching out? Is there something you feel differently about that you want to pursue, that you're inspired to see and to embrace more? Was there something you used to love that is in the back whispering at you? I don't know. These are just some of the things that I notice when I go through times that reoccur like this. For example, this is nothing like my worst flare, but when I go through these and I go through these same motions and these same phases of defeat and then recovery, I always think about that. What am I doing right now? And what really matters? I think that's the clarity that comes. What really matters to you? And what about the joy that's everywhere? Do you feel it? Do you hear it in a song? Do you see it in a sunset? Do you see it in a person? Do you see it in your spouse, your person, your kids, your pets, your plants? I'm serious. Your flowers, the bees, the animals. Do you feel it? Do you feel it in what you read? Do you get it through scripture? Do you get it when you pray? Because it's in there. And sometimes it hits you smack, square in the heart, doesn't it? People ask me the question sometimes, why? Mostly I ask it to myself, why did this happen to me? Why does anything happen to anybody, you guys? Why? That is the age-old question. Why does this happen to people? And all I can tell you is something about this, that kind of suffering, something about that kind of challenge. It challenges our humanity, but I think what it does is strengthen our spirit. I know when I'm in pain, regardless of what pain it is, I go running to stability. I go running to people I trust. I go running to God. I go running to music. And I don't mean I literally go running, although that is also the thing. But what I mean is I am after it. I am adamant. I am taking in those things that I desperately need to empower and strengthen what's inside. This goes back to your character, your soul, your spirit. Because you might break. Your body might not work right. If something happens to it, you have an autoimmune disease, an accident happens, your body's never going to be the same. Our bodies change. And even if you don't go through something horrific, you will age and things will start to fall apart and you'll be like, what is happening? And you might still be able to go out there and do what you've always loved. Yeah, but you might have to make adjustments. You might have to slow down. Everybody's been telling me since I got diagnosed and I got really sick, Charlie, slow down. But what keeps me going is the drive, the beauty, the rush, the joy that's interwoven through everything. I guess that's it. I just wanted to talk about the joy. Right now, in this moment, I'm just really tired, but I'm thinking about those moments I had years ago where I was not at all in physical condition to be doing life at its fullest, but I felt like a new person. I was feeling my humanity more than ever, but I was also recognizing the miraculous everything. And being able to go through something so rough and then coming back a little worse for wear, but wearing it well, if you will. Thank you, Beck. Something about that is incredibly inspiring. Knowing that we can come out of those tough spots. So take that with you today. If you take anything else, if you take nothing else, rather. See, yeah, I'm foggy headed. Okay, that is it, ladies and gents. So if that's you, if you are struggling with something, and it doesn't have to be a physical thing, I might've used those examples, but sometimes we go through traumatic experiences and it brings us closer to the things that really matter because we need that stability. And we suddenly realize just how beautiful things can be and how simple things can be. All right, guys, keep yourselves alive. Those words are heavier today, but I mean it. Keep yourselves alive, and I will be back next time to talk some more Queen with you. But don't worry. I'll be fine. 2 more weeks and I'll be done with this mess and hopefully out of the mess and I won't sound this funky. All right, guys. Later. I'm gonna get some rest.